Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined on this Thursday afternoon by one Mr. Andrew Barron to go position by position and preview the Week 8 NFL DFS slate. And I actually am very interested in this slate. I think there's a lot of peccadilloes that make it more interesting than the normal slate. And also just the lack of high total games. There are only 3 games over 45 as a total. I think this might truly be a just play the best plays style slate. I would not be surprising to me to see a very low correlated team win a lot of these contests this week.
Yeah, it's possible. How did play the best plays go last week with like Jacobs and Walker and all the like crazy chalk just going bonkers at the end?
So I wasn't here last week. That's fascinating you mention it. Play the best plays at running back. You pretty much had to play the 3 most owned running backs in order to bank because Ramondre, Kenneth Walker, and Josh Jacobs all totally smashed. But what was interesting was all the chalk at wide receiver died other than Ja'Marr Chase. Now, obviously, Chase was, I think, the 5th or 6th most owned player of the main slate.
Wasn't crazy. Yeah.
I think he was like 12 to 13%, but
right.
All the other wide receiver chalk died. Like 2 of the top 10 most owned wide receivers got actual zeros. So as always in daily fantasy, you take away what you want to take away. Your one takeaway could be just play the best plays and get all the points with the running backs, or with the wide receivers, play the best plays and get none of the points.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I actually liked how last week shaked out. Like, I'm happy with how I played it. But yeah, obviously, if the 3 highest owned running backs all go off together, like, your boy is not going to do so well. So, brutal week for me. But I like the edges. And I think this week is a little bit similar because early on, especially, like, if you've got, there's obviously such a clear top tier of quarterbacks to play. It's Allen, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts. Like, they are far and away the best fantasy guys. They're the guys that can score 40, like, with relative ease. They're going to do it a lot. If all 3 of them are on the slate, it's kind of like, you know, like, I'll do other stuff, but it does kind of make sense to just, like, play 33% of each of them. Because if all 3 of them are there, one of them is going to end up being optimal a lot of the time. Like, a strong possibility. And today, you know, we've got Jalen Hurts. He's the only one of those there. And similar to last week, where it was just Lamar, you've only got one of them to dodge. And they all can have sort of bad floors. And Lamar sucked last week. So there were all these kind of middling quarterbacks. Like, I'm not playing Derek Carr on a normal slate if these guys are around. But, like, honestly, kind of into Derek Carr this week. So it's fun. It opens up the quarterback pool a little bit more, I think.
Yeah. So we do have one of the big boys on the main slate, Jalen Hurts. Unfortunately, he is in. Hurts is super interesting because of how the Eagles call plays, which is once they get up 10, once they are really shoving it, they really do shut it down. I mean, we've seen it multiple times where they're up double digit points. Hurts actually has more fantasy points than Josh Allen in the first half of games, but Josh Allen keeps going, right? They're up 30 and he's just chucking bombs. The Eagles get up 20 and they're like, you know what? Let's just hang out. Tua is being projected way over his baseline, what we would expect due to the matchup and just how they call plays in general. We have formerly one of the big boys. Kyler Murray used to be really great for fantasy, maybe trending that way again with the return of DeAndre Hopkins. Actually, I do think that we as the fantasy community did maybe forget just how, one, how good DeAndre Hopkins is, but two, the difference between DeAndre Hopkins and AJ Green and Greg Dortch and those guys, like, or even Hollywood Brown, right? Even a decreased efficiency DeAndre Hopkins is better than Hollywood Brown. And
there's
then,
such different types of receivers. Hollywood Brown's a field stretcher. Sure. DeAndre Hopkins is a guy you can throw to in a crowd and he can still make it happen. Like, Hollywood Brown is not that guy.
Yes. Yeah, that is true. But the biggest question of the week is, what do you do with a $4,000 minimum price quarterback in a good matchup who we expect to run the ball? I mean, it is, generally speaking, when we get these types of situations, the quarterbacks are not 4,000, they're 5,000, and they don't project to be that efficient as rushers. But Ellinger is in a good matchup. He is 4,000 instead of 5,000, and he ran for 1,900 yards and 33 touchdowns at the University of Texas. He is a good rusher. I really am not going to be surprised to see him get to like 21 DraftKings points or whatever this weekend. I really wouldn't.
Okay. I've got a pretty strong zag there, man. Honestly, I don't watch much college, so I'm interested in your take on maybe what this was actually like. But just looking at the numbers, like, yeah, he put up a lot of raw numbers running. He averaged 3.4 yards per carry as a rusher in college. Like, that's not very good. That's not, that to me doesn't scream that he's scrambling. That to me says there's a lot of RPOs and design runs. So it's not like he's getting these like big chunk plays a whole lot. Like when Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson like scrambles for 30 yards, like he doesn't profile as that. I will say the only guys that are playing this week that ran a slower 40 time than your man Sam Ellinger are Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, truly, he's 4.9. He's very slow. So he doesn't profile as a big scrambler to me. But I'm hearing this a lot. So, like, you know, I'm assuming there's some wisdom of the crowd. What's the deal with his running?
Well, I mean, I don't like to do too much of this stuff, but I have actually watched a lot of Sam Ellinger play because he played for the University of Texas. So he played against Oklahoma every year. I would watch a lot of his regular season games. What the spiel I would give you is that he's not a scrambler like Kyler or Lamar.
Absolutely not.
Are scramblers.
That is clear.
He is like a, I would compare him to like Patriots era Cam Newton, where he's going to get you 8 yards where Tom Brady would take a sack, or on the 3 yard line, they're probably just going to like quarterback power with him, like he's gonna score at like a really good rate. He's big, he's strong, he like, and also like his the very small sample we have of him playing in the preseason this year and last year, he scrambled a ton in his preseason snaps. So I think like 40 rushing yards is a pretty good mean expectation. With touchdown variance, like are they gonna hand the ball to Jonathan Taylor at the one, or are they gonna let him do it? But I would say I would project him to be much more likely to get a 1 yard touchdown than just your average run of the mill backup quarterback, basically.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think in this case, like, I don't really play cash, but I think that if like you're really hot to get a couple extra expensive pieces in cash, I think that's probably something that's okay to do. The floor is going to be gross. I don't see the offense being very good. This guy is not like a big deal prospect. And it's not like QBs have to be burners to run. Like, you know, Allen, Hurts and Lamar actually all ran 4.6s, which is like, you know, 25th percentile for a wide receiver. So like they're not like super fast. The only guy like RG3 and Michael Vick were like Tyreek Hill fast, but those are like the only super fast guys. But 4.9 is like, you know, Andy Dalton, Matt Stafford, Kirk Cousins, those guys ran faster than that. Does Sam Ellinger beat the 35-year-old versions of those guys in a foot race? Probably, but still, he's going to get chased down from behind by front seven people. And that's where, like, if you're a 4.6, you're not really. You're faster than most of them. That's kind of the sweet spot. And then you're big enough to bowl over cornerbacks. So, like, you know, if Josh Allen gets loose, it's like he's going until a safety catches up to him, you know?
Yeah. I'm not counting on, 100 rushing yards. I think I mean, a big part of it is the Washington defense is so bad. You know, that plays into it. Also, the other, and I think this is a point I've not heard very many people make, but like, if he had been terrible in practice up until this point, like if he'd been not understanding what the coaches are doing and you know, making mistakes and like, you know, taking practice sacks and stuff, they would not have made this decision. They would have been like, all right, like we got to ride this out another week. Like I would assume at least part of this decision is them being like, from an organizational perspective, like this kid seems better than his draft stock, so we should try and figure out, like, get some live fire action to figure out if this is real or not.
Yeah, I suppose that's fine. Do you think he's capable of throwing for 202? Because that probably is the more important question.
He can't be that much worse than late stage Matt Ryan. He just really can't be. Like Matt Ryan
was good a couple weeks ago. Like I actually low-key had a bunch of him because he threw 50 times. Yeah,
he threw 58 times. It's not that he like
no,
really
he
efficient.
Right.
Really efficient quarterbacks don't throw 58 times. And another part that might be helping him is Jonathan Taylor is on a pitch count because of this ankle injury. Like they're not really wanting to give him 30 touches. Like they were working in Deion Jackson in a game that he started for the first time ever last week.
Yeah. I just get a little worried about like a bunch of wildcat and this is a 17-14 game. So like, I'm not jamming. I'm not like going out of my way to play this guy. We'll see how much
I think
he can.
If this game finishes 17-14, I still think he can get to 20.
Okay. Cause we're talking, there's a bunch of 6K ish quarterbacks that I think can get to 30. And I'm saying they don't have to get to 40 this week because it's really just Jalen Hurts. They got to dodge. So yeah, if Ellinger gets to 20, that puts him in the cards. You're trying to hit on.
Well,
it becomes
less. Honestly, it becomes less about his score and do you need like four high priced players?
Correct. Yeah.
Because
he
like,
gets you four instead of three. Yeah. Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. Other quarterback. I mean, I actually do like playing the Goff side of Detroit Miami because it's not like we're really counting on much rushing production from Tua. Amon-Ra St. Brown should theoretically finally be playing a full complement of snaps. DeAndre Swift should finally theoretically be back in the lineup. Like Goff can get 303. I mean, we've already seen him do it. And if instead of 303, he goes for 350-4 because this game just is crazy, Goff is going to be 2-3% in a lot of contests where Tua might end up being the second most owned quarterback.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what I was saying in the first place. 303 is firmly in play to win tournaments this week because there isn't a guy that's likely to get, other than Hurts, who's likely to get, you know, 303 and run for 80 yards and a touchdown. So, like, yeah 25 points at QB from a 6K guy, I think it's fine. I don't mind Goff. He's only 5,500. He's a little bit cheaper than these other dudes. Tua, that side, you know, I think that's going to be the out of control chalk. Tyreek is old already, like, you know, without a ton of data yet, he's already pushing 30% in the peons. He's going to be out of control. So I think there's other ways to play that, but yeah, I think the Goff side is fine. I think Dak is really interesting. Do you, as a Cowboys fan, do you want to talk a little bit? Did you see much of him? Did you see any difference? Are they going to go back to super fast Kellen Moore offense with Dak slinging it? Because if so,
I actually think Dak is probably the best low owned tournament play at quarterback this week. Like it was just kind of a weird game. Dak was pretty efficient when he was throwing. They started out slow, but I mean, spoiler alert to the running back section, I'm playing Tony Pollard in every lineup that I play this weekend. I don't care. We could show 190% peon. So I think that
are you going to play Dak and Pollard together?
No, that's the thing. So this is like a totally like do as I say, not as I do type thing, because Dak and CeeDee and Michael Gallup are great leverage on who will be the most owned running 100%. Backs this weekend. So I'm not going to play that because I just want to play Tony Pollard. But yeah, that like using that, and you don't even need to play a bear bring back because like Fields will probably do it on his own, or they'll just run really efficiently, or it'll be Dante Pettis on one target for 60 yards and a touchdown.
Well, and Mooney's shown some signs of life lately and he's down to 4,800. So that's not a bad bring back. Noah Brown is playing 80-90% of the snaps. You know, he's 4,300. He's going to be, you know, sub five. Gallup freaking bageled last week, so no one wants to play him. You know, he'll still be close to 5%, but CD's only like 9 or 10%. If he's a third of the ownership of Tyreek Hill and he's considerably cheaper, like I really like Dallas passing this week. They're one of three that three teams to stack that really stood out to me as I think I'm going to jump. And the whole, yeah, no Zeke, mega Pollard chalk, like makes them even more attractive.
Yeah. I don't really got anything else at quarterback.
Okay, well, I do have, so Hurts is number one in optimal probability by a mile. I'm with you about Kyler. He used to be really good. I think the ceiling is there. I would absolutely be talking about him as a guy to go all over. If his price tag has never dropped. He's still 7,500. So it's like he hasn't shown the Lamar Hurts Allen ceiling. So that's a little tough to get to, but I don't mind it this week. I think that's an interesting game for sure. Derek Carr, I was mentioning, I guess we'll get into it more in the receiver section, but I think that Carr, I prefer to Kirk Cousins because Devontae Adams is going to be a better play than Justin Jefferson. New Orleans defense is not what it was. They actually haven't been that good this year. They're super banged up in the secondary. So there's plenty of guys. There's plenty of opportunity there for Devontae and whoever to like beat bad players. I Carr, you definitely want a double stack, so you go there. But you've also got Andy Dalton, who's been like really good, like straight up really good. What's always been the book on him? He's pretty decent, but he's so bad under pressure. He hasn't really faced a good pass rush yet. He's not facing one this week. Las Vegas.
Well,
he
threw two pick sixes on back to back plays last week. I think the in game hook is pretty real.
Yeah, okay, that's possible, but I'm not really interested. It's not about playing Dalton so much as I like Derek Carr, and you've got the Chris Olave bring back, who is number one in air yards by a mile. I still don't think I don't think people realize that this is like in contention for number one player in fantasy type of shit that this guy's doing.
He's absolutely unbelievable. Okay, that's all we got. Let's move to running back. Just did my first run through of projections, and Pollard is projecting for 19.2 DraftKings points, but yeah. I'm giving a pretty unreasonable amount of work to create a player backup running back. For example, in Tony Pollard's the only other game in his career that Zeke missed. Let's see here. I got to go find it. It was against Pittsburgh, I want to say. I gotta go find this. I mean, what are your thoughts on Pollard?
Well, I actually had a question for you too, because that, and it's germane to what you were saying there. It's how much is he gonna play? Because right, the book on him is that he's an incredible running back, but like that's not a very important position, and he's a really bad pass blocker, which is a very important position. So is he just gonna step into 90% of the snaps?
So
I don't know.
The last game. The only game of his career that he played that Mr. Elliott did not play was against it was against the 49ers. He played 90% of the snaps. He played 52 of 58 offensive snaps. Rico okay. Dowdle played 8 snaps, got 4 carries, and did not run a route. So, and Rico Dowdle, I think, is actually even hurt. I believe he might even be on short-term IR. Yeah, he is. So their other running back they have is this guy named Malik Davis, who I just, honest to God, I don't know. Like, knowing these obscure college football players is like a skill of mine, and I got nothing. Would not surprise me.
He doesn't have a PFF grade because he doesn't have a rushing attempt this year. So like,
well, he hasn't been active. He's been on the practice yeah, right. squad. I would not be surprised if Tony Pollard plays every snap of this game. Just does not get subbed out.
Okay, well, you know where this is heading then, bro? Like, this is a rule. I would often talk about this with like Tampa Bay last year, where you know, just they have the massive total, somebody's gonna smash. And we have, so on Dallas, we've got CeeDee Lamb, stud wide receiver, not quite priced at stud wide receiver money. You know, he's like fifth in air yards on the season. Like, the dude's putting it up. The massive games are going to come for him. 7K, he's quite a bit cheaper than Justin Jefferson and Tyreek and whoever else. I think there's one other very expensive guy. We've got two sub 5K wide receivers in Noah Brown and Michael Gallup. We've got a $3,700 tight end. We got a $6,100 running back. So it's kind of just like play a cowboy, like set that rule in. And just be like, I want a cowboy in my lineup. I'm not going to do that for every one of 300 lineups, but I will probably have that rule on for a good 2/3 of my crunches. I would expect myself to have like 15% Dak, like cowboy stacks, and you know, 30-35% Pollard, even though that's probably what he's going to be, and I think I will have a better week if he doesn't go nuts. But like, yeah, I think 30%+ Pollard, 25% CD, you know, 10 each of the Schultz, Gallup, Brown guys, and a ton of Dak. Like, I just think you can really smash Cowboys. They're very affordable. It's a great script. They're really coming in on their own because everyone just wants to smash this Dolphins and Lions game.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I mean, I'm good with all of that in a vacuum. I'm just jamming Pollard. So,
sure.
But, yeah.
Is Kenny Walker actually going to be 13% owned? Again, not a ton of tags yet. What are people talking about? Like, that's insane.
I think it just seems like that. I think he'll be more than that, but mm-hmm. I think that he will trail pretty far behind Henry, Jacobs, and Pollard. Like Pollard is going to soak up what would have been Kenneth Walker's ownership. So he will be lower than he would have been. To me, honestly, I think the running back conversation is pretty freaking narrow. Like, I think there are like 8 plays that are so good. I'm not really trying to like talk myself into, you know, Donta Foreman or Miles Sanders or whatever. Like, I don't know, you know, you can get more into that because, you know, I'm really only playing like 4 or 5 teams in these single entries, but I think Pollard, Pierce, Walker, I mean, even Kamara at a huge discount at less expensive than Josh Jacobs, like, seems pretty appealing to me.
Yep. I think that's fair. Right. Jacobs is just, it would be hard to continue to justify the fade if he was still like 6,200, but he's pricey enough now that it's like he's, you're paying for what he's been doing. Like, maybe he should be 8,100, you know, if that's actually who he is, but we don't really know if that's actually who he is. And, you know, you're paying for it. So Jacobs, I think, is, you know, pretty neutral right now. I don't think he'll be crazy owned because he is so expensive. Yeah, Pollard's going to be the silly chalk. Like, I don't know. I think it's not really something I'm looking to take a stand on because they should murder a terrible Chicago defense. Yeah. Kenny Walker is the new, you know, he's got the Derrick Henry role. That's what Penny had before too. Like, it tilts me a little bit.
Except he does actually run more routes than you think. Like, obviously wasn't involved in the passing game at all last week because they were so far ahead. But my bet would be that rest of the season, his targets per route run will be greater than Penny's targets per route run before he got hurt.
I think that's fine. It just, this Seattle running back is a coveted role. It's like San Francisco running back because they, whoever it is, when they have them, it's much more of a, it's not a, I'm going to play 60-40 splits. It's when this guy's healthy, I'm going to play a ton of him. And I'm kind of pissed off because I think there was a, like, just tilted about there was a lot of wish casting on Kenny Walker. And it was like, no, this is still Penny's job. Penny's going to get all the work. And he was
eating massive, massive best ball losses on my guy, Kenneth Walker, you know, does not always pay to be smarter than the crowd. What can you do?
Yeah, exactly. That's tough. Mostert, also a very good leverage play. Attack there.
He's the one who feels most fragile to me. Like, I can't, sure. I can't click his name when what is he? Let's see. Mostert is 5,900.
He's cheaper than all these guys we've mentioned. Yeah.
But Pierce is 6,300, and he's got, like, it kind of got lost last week because the Texans ended up getting shithoused, but he played, he got every running back touch in the first half. I don't think Burkhead got a target until midway through the third quarter. Like, Damian Pierce last 4 weeks has a 15% target share. Like, he's got an Alvin Kamara role. More so, because he's not even giving up groundwork.
Yeah, I think Pierce is a very good play. I'm just saying, like, they're actually projecting for similar ownership right now. I do think people will notice that stuff about Pierce, but people are just so into the passing attack on this Miami-Detroit game. I'm not sure if you've heard that Detroit is allowed, you know, 52 points a game or whatever, and they're the worst defense in football, and their games are always good for fantasy. They've got fantasy goodness, you know, that's what they like. So I don't know. I think Mostert is a pretty good zag there because I, you know, they're probably going to put up a lot of points, but that's a similar one. Like, you can kind of have a play a Dolphin going on for a lot of your stuff. I like Swift too. Swift is pretty game script independent. So, like, he can still put up a lot of points in a shootout, which is kind of anti the point of playing a running back in a popular game, but I don't think Swift is as strong of a, like, if he goes off, it kills the game kind of leverage as Mostert is, but I do like Swift. He looks to be not very popular at all. What about Barkley? Like, Seattle's defense stinks.
Yeah, I mean, so I think the thing is Barkley really only works at 8,100 because there's no value at wide receiver this week. Like, there's no one really projecting for a role under, like, 4,500.
Except for Wandale, who you want to talk about, and you can't play him with Barkley.
Well, but am I interested in a 19% owned Wandale? Not really so much. So, like, Wandale was a really good play the last 2 weeks when people weren't playing him and I was playing him, but not so much now.
That was great out of context. He was a great play when people weren't, when I was playing him, but now he's bad.
And in a vacuum, he's even a good play, but not as, like, literally, like, sort by dollars per point. And you, like, the only guys you're going to be getting as a positive value under 5,000 are Mooney, Wilson, and Mr. Wandale. Like, those are the only guys.
Yeah, it's a murderer's row of tough QB action too, man. That's times are tough this week. So yeah, I do think the overwhelming play is going to be jam 3-6 running backs.
The problem then becomes, okay, you play Ellinger to get Barkley in, and then you're like, you're just flooding into all the same teams as your opponents because the Barkley Ellinger correlation is going to be really high.
Yeah, I think that's true, but it's also like Derrick Henry will get played, I think, more than Barkley. It's looking like, and that's a similar price range. Henry's so funny, man. I don't know. I've been playing him a lot this year because he hasn't been owned, and it's like the thing with him is it's just like it's gonna happen. It doesn't really have a lot to do with what's going on, but you know, Houston does have the worst run defense thus far, so seems like a good spot for Henry. He's gonna be awfully popular. 3 weeks ago, I feel like we were talking, and I was counting my print on 3 weeks ago was the Dalvin Cook game where he scored a couple touchdowns early, and it was like, this is lit. It's so good. He was under 10% owned. Like, the Dalvin smash is coming. We knew it. We got it. It's here. Now I forget who the stupid fucking chalk was that week, but they all, like, you know, crushed Dalvin. He ended up being an actively bad play that hurt your lineups. I can dive in here. The Cardinals are a very bad defense as well. And I do think the usage has been fine.
Dalvin actually probably is pretty strong this week, especially because he's coming off of a bye week. They were playing Madison a little bit more than normal because of that shoulder thing that Cook has been dealing with. But these games are also really important for Minnesota, because the Eagles are just running away with the NFC. So you could see him getting extended a little bit. But that's honestly, like, even if Hubbard doesn't play. I think that if Hubbard doesn't play and he's not practicing on Thursday, Foreman might get a little bit of buzz, but I'm not doing it.
Yeah. When I played a fair amount of both last week when they were $4,000, just cause it's a lot easier, you know, 4K. It's like, okay, what Hubbard did was fine, but I think what Hubbard did is pretty close to his ceiling, and that's not going to play at 5,500. Yeah. And Foreman doesn't really catch passes. So you really need him to, like, break a super long one. Do you know any intel on what's going on with McCaffrey? I think he's too expensive, even if he was like 90% of the snaps.
I expect him to be in a full-time role starting now. Okay. $8,700
against the Rams defense is not what you want to do with the running backs, but you know, he's sneaky still.
Also Debo is probably not going to play. Well, he could not play. He's dinged up, and the 49ers have their bye week next week. That would make me a little bit more interested in him, and it would for sure make him project better because that's removing 15% of the carries or whatever.
Right.
I would not say McCaffrey is a bad play at, what is he going to be, 2% owned probably?
It's not going to be much, that's for sure. But he's just very expensive, and it's like he's got to do 30 and fade all – you know, there's a lot of 6K guys with a real shot at 30 this week. So I think it's a little tough for me to get there. That's more like if a ton of mid-range wide receivers go insane, that's like your path for that working. But that's obviously an independent event. Can you get back on, like, is James Robinson going to play yet, or is this Michael Carter's full-time show?
They said they were going to work him in. I think Carter, actually. Like, Carter is a better play than any of the other 5K running backs other than Mostert, I think.
Okay. Well, he's – oh, right. You're making a distinction here. I was like – because Pierce and Pollard are right there, too. Just a couple hundred dollars more. But
yeah.
So, Pierce and Pollard will be the very popular ones. But, yeah, Mostert and Carter will not so much. And, yeah, New England's run defense has actually been really, 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 really bad. So, I can dig. I can get there a little bit.
Yeah. All right. Wide receiver, Tyreek, just going to be on all your opponent's teams at 8,500. Hopkins is going to be pretty popular. Justin Jefferson actually won't be nearly as much as you would think. Cooper Kupp is actually like a leverage play, honestly, given his ceiling. We'll see. I'm interested to see what the field does with Lockett in a gross total game with no Metcalf. I could be convinced either way. I think the field will be too low on Olave. But what you'll see here is all the value at wide receiver, or all the really strong plays at wide receiver, are like 6K, 7K guys. So I do think Davante Adams, Justin Jefferson, and Cooper Kupp are all going to be in MME or in single entry stuff, going to be single digits.
Yeah, I don't know that DK Metcalf being out helps Lockett. I actually think it probably hurts him because he's just a slot guy. So it's a lot of middle of the field stuff. And they're going to have like Marquise Goodwin or whatever trying to draw the defense away instead of DK Metcalf to like make Lockett open. You know, like, yeah, is he expected to get an extra target or two because of no Metcalf? Yeah, but is it going to be a lot harder to complete those? I think so. I think he's going to draw way more attention. Not so into that. Adams and CeeDee are my favorite plays. This reminds me a little bit of like running back stuff, you know, like past years where it's like, you know, okay, there's Jonathan Taylor and Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry or whatever, like the top three running backs every week, you know, and every week one of them was 30% owned for some reason. You know, the defense he's facing is 5% worse than the other guy. So he's 30% owned and he's 20% optimal. And the other two guys are 16%, 18% optimal, but they're 8% owned. That's kind of what's going to happen this week with those guys. So like Reek, yeah, best play, slightly better play than those guys. Not triple the ownership better of a play than Adams and CeeDee. So I prefer Adams and CeeDee. You're getting a 3-to-1 payout if they beat him, basically. So he's probably, it's like 60-40 or something like that, but you're getting paid out 3-to-1 if they beat him. So I really like them a lot.
If St. Brown plays and he is 10%, I will be, I'll be jamming him really, really hard. And
yeah,
and
he's a
Waddle,
monster. That was
Waddle
rough
too.
Last week.
Waddle
like 100%.
Yeah. At single digits, and he's been banged up and like whatever. I mean, he just is. Waddle's probably the best wide receiver play of the week.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the direct leverage off of Reek is nice. You know, it is a little scary because, like, if Waddle does a lot, like, Reek is probably going to be at least in some good positions. It's more like, will he steal two touchdowns? Possibly. But Reek is also capable of the 10-catch, 140-yard game without a touchdown. It's like, that's cooking pretty hard. But I think Adams and CeeDee are my favorite ways to get leverage there, especially Adams with, I think, Chris Olave is just, he's an absolute monster. Said it earlier in the show. Like, he is really in play for like top overall guy. The stuff that he's put, the opportunity he's getting, the amount of air yards, the amount of targets. Like, it's bonkers stuff. Michael Thomas, I believe, didn't practice again today. So he looks to be out. Totally with you, Amon-Ra. Like, when he plays, it's absolutely bonkers. And I think people will be reticent enough, especially last week. People were on him a little bit. It wasn't like crazy, but people were definitely buying, and then they got burnt by it. So I don't think they're touching him. And then I don't think I've spent enough time talking about Philly. I love those wide receivers. AJ Brown's gonna have.
Yeah, they're both great plays. And I don't think you have to play him with Hurts either. You know, you could play him. You can play him as one. Actually, they probably even work as leverage off of Hurts, because two AJ Brown receiving touchdowns means that Jalen Hurts is not rushing for them. So that's decreases his optimal probability.
I still think Hurts is mostly a single stack guy. Like, I know it didn't look like it maybe for a little bit, but if he smashes, he's running one in, and I don't think he's not going to throw for 350 and four, really. Like, that's the 99th percentile outcome.
They haven't been pushed in a game yet. I mean, they've not played a competitive game yet. If they ever play a competitive game, then
seems unlikely to play one. this week, but yeah.
Pickens seems okay. Tyquan Thornton actually probably is the only guy. He played like 98% of the snaps last week. He gets against the Jets. He probably is actually going to end up getting steamed quite a bit.
What's going on with the Patriots? I didn't watch that game on Monday. What, like, Jones just got sat? Like, that seems
Mac Jones threw an interception that people are saying hit the ESPN Skycam wire.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, like, you could see him on TV. You could see him mouthing, "I'm out," which I think maybe, because remember he was coming back from that ankle injury. So I think maybe he got in live action and he wasn't as healthy as he thought. And then Zappe came in and honestly, like, stunk. Threw one touchdown pass that was like a duck. And then they scored Zappe's 0 points.
That's a fun story, but he's not a prospect. Let's be real here. Like, this is an Ellinger level guy. Like, I don't see it happening for him.
So I think that, you know, and it's the Jets. Like, what better get right spot is there than going against the New York Football Jets?
Perennial doormats, but their defense has been frisky this year. And aren't the Jets like 5-2? Is it something nuts like that? I believe they are. Don't ever look at records. I find that every once in a while, I'm like, oh yeah, right. I'm just like so deep in the
deeper stats, which is funny. Van Jefferson is the dead man. If he came back into his real full time role, especially because Robinson has been so bad. I might sprinkle him in, because I mean one 47 yard touchdown catch or whatever at 3,000 could very easily get him in the optimals this week, but it's just unclear how much he's even going to play.
Right. That. Yeah. Okay. Sure. I don't hate it as a sprinkle. You're going to need to get some value. Something I feel like will open up. You know, it usually does. There's going to be somewhere to go before the weekend, but.
Well,
even if you're playing Ellinger, I don't want to do Michael Pittman with that. Like, he's 7,200, and is he going to get 12 targets? Like, I don't see that really in the range of outcomes.
Yeah. Yeah. But. I mean, St. Brown could not play, and Khalif Raymond at 4,300. He got 8 targets last week. He just, that could be a thing.
Sure, sure. What about any of the Pittsburgh guys? I think you said Pickens, but Pickens, Claypool or Deontay,
they all seem fine. I mean, they're probably like not going to get there in any way, shape, or form, but they could, right?
Right. So. I will not be forcing a bring back in Jalen Hurts stacks. Obviously, I don't really force bring backs. I think that seems like the public is picking up on that now. I hear that on a lot of shows now where people are like, I'm not going to bring this guy back. But I think Pittsburgh, those guys are good, and like it obviously if. Claypool scores an 80-yard touchdown or whatever, that's probably good for Jalen Hurts fantasy-wise. So I think I will be, you know, doing a little bit there. I mentioned Noah Brown earlier. What about Marquise Goodwin? Like, he smashed in the PM slate.
Without
DK, he's stepping into the DK role. He's super fast, too. Like, he's faster than DK.
I would probably play Eskridge. Honestly, probably wouldn't play either of them. I mean, Marquise Goodwin he's the most, like, we know what that guy is, guy of all time.
I think that's true. So, but he, whatever, he made a couple, like, contested catches. I actually did see most of that game. And whatever, yeah, he's not that good. But he's very fast. So, reasonable. Brandon Cooks, is he cooked? Is it over?
I've never really been a Brandon Cooks guy. I think maybe they were taking it easy on him because they were thinking about trading him. I don't know.
Okay.
Damian Pierce is the only Texan I'm playing. I mean, Nico Collins is not playing this week, so their other wide receivers are minimum price, but I don't know if you think Philip Dorsett or Chris Moore can catch a touchdown.
Chris Moore did last week. No, I mean, I don't think so either. I'm not really ready to. It's not a game I'm interested in stacking, so it makes their less reasonable to go with. Cooks, I mean, I can see, you know, put a +3 on Cooks with if Derrick Henry is used. That's fine. But
sure.
I'm not going out of my way there. Terry McLaurin with, what's his name playing now? Heineke? He caught a bomb. Terry McLaurin, right?
He did catch a bomb. We are 6 weeks into the season, and Curtis Samuel has still out-targeted him in every game they've played, and Dotson might play this week.
All right, Samuel's rushing seems like that was just a blip.
Then they did it again. They did it again this last week, though.
Okay, okay.
I think he had 4 rushes this last week.
Yep. I don't think people realize how valuable that is. That's why Debo was always like the number one leverage guy, and his rushes has been going down, and that's a big part of him going off. I know I hear a lot of people also talking about how like they don't want these guys to rush as much. They want them, you know, out wide running routes, getting more targets. I understand the thinking there, but it's just not true. Like the people that do a little bit of everything, there's just so many more outs. You know, Debo had a lot of monster ass games last year where he had 7 targets or whatever and just converted everything and got his 6 rushing attempts too, which 4 of them were touchdowns, or, you know, so like it is really, really important to get those couple, even though I get the idea that it's like maybe not that crazy. Yeah, Ayuk, are you cool with if Debo is out, even if he isn't? What do you think?
I mean, Ayuk can just double dong anytime. I mean, he's never like a core part of my strategy, but I think he's fine.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. So at tight end, I actually need to alter our projections because Darren Waller practiced in back-to-back days. So we have one guy projecting as positive value. That's Tyler Higbee, who I'm really not interested in at all, actually.
He's the worst.
Yeah, he stinks. Freiermuth seems okay. Fant seems pretty good. Cole Turner ran a bunch of routes from Washington.
Where's that come? Where's Fant coming from? Has he been playing more snaps lately? I thought he was like
he's been running more routes, and then he has like 9 targets the last 2 weeks. The expectation would be that he would become a bigger part of the offense going into a game when they know they don't have Metcalf, since he's more of a actual receiver than Disley or Parkinson. But I mean, this is as bad as the tight end position gets. There's really no one you're excited to play at all.
2,800 is like an easy sell too, where we're talking like there's not a lot of value.
I like Tanner Hudson, who I think is going to be the long down and distance tight end for the Giants. He's going to play those snaps long time.
Your boy, the right tackle, lost his eye.
Yeah. But for those of us who play preseason NFL DFS, Tanner Hudson was like the cheat code of all of those slates, because he was so much more athletic than all of the defensive guys who were playing in the preseason. So he would just rack up like 4 for 50 in ones in the preseason. I think honestly, I'm just trying to spend like $2,600 a tight end this week, because I don't think any of these plays are good. Like, I don't even think Dalton Schultz is good, because he's just so hurt.
Right. I think Goddard and Ertz, like, they're the two most expensive, but they're the best plays. Ertz is definitely underperforming. Like, I think he's going to have some more games, and Nuke coming back like gives him a little more. I mean, whatever, like Hollywood's a good field stretcher too, but he's just getting a lot of opportunity and he's not scoring a lot of touchdowns. I think that's going to come. Goddard's a great play. Like, I really like Goddard. I would play. I really like Hurts. Obviously Hurts has double the optimal probability of anyone else at quarterback this week. So I will certainly be doing a lot of all three of Devonta and AJ Brown and Goddard as single stacks with him. So I think that's fine. And then I think you can kind of just be like, other than certain guys, just be like, I don't know, like if I'm playing, like play, if make the a rule so that the tight end has to have a quarterback from the same game. So it's like, this is my stack. I am stacking this game. You know, like if I'm playing, whatever, Kyle Pitts, like put in Mariota. Pitts is a bad example. Actually, he's 4K, but like, you know, if I'm playing Freiermuth, I want Hurts or God help me, Kenny Pickens, Pickett, you know, Schultz, like you want Fields or Dak in there. Fance, you want Geno in there. I think that's a pretty okay rule to put it. You know, you can play some Gesicki, his role's expanding. He's probably, I mean, he's 3,800, which kind of is rough, but he's, he could definitely take some stuff away from Tyree too. Like Tyree's pretty important to find a way to get around this week. That's going to be difficult. He's the most terrifying fade in all of fantasy sports, I feel like.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill, would you agree with that? Other than maybe that run where Russell Westbrook got up to like 15K on DraftKings 5 years ago?
I mean, it's hard to say. Mm. But, I mean, I just like, whatever. If Tyreek beats me, he beats me, you know? I feel the same way about Jacobs. Like,
it's good process to not play a 30% owned guy up to 30% just in general. Sorry about Pollard's glands.
Oh, I will, you know, it's like I do these things because I'm just doing astrology, you know, like I played, you know, Benjamin at 4,600 at 60% owned, but not Josh Jacobs at 6,500 at 40% owned or whatever. And
I remember.
I'm fine. I'm
Jamal
fine with
Williams
positions.
Could not fail. This is your brand.
No, I didn't. I ended up chickening out on the Jamal Williams thing, and then he ended up burying me. So tough scenes.
Well, he's a freaking, you know, goal line and third down back. Like, it's not necessarily a guy you want to be smashing. That's the thing. That's the most important thing, I think, actually, general strategy that we should be talking about. I'm glad we brought it up with Pollard, but it's like, when the starting running back goes out, is not playing, it's like, is the other guy stepping into a full-time role, or is he going to keep his, like, Jamal Williams' role does not change when DeAndre Swift's out. Like, he's guaranteed
it changes, but it's not a huge change. He gets like 20% more carries, but they play Justin Jackson and they do all this.
Like, you're right. I didn't mean change is not at all, but it's not as big of a change as people think. It's not like it's, oh, there's this guy's out, therefore this guy will get all of the work. It's usually doesn't work that way, but it sounds like it's going to with Pollard. So rest in peace. Yeah. You want to tout OJ Howard one last time?
No, Brevin Jordan came back. Yeah. Howard was running a ton of routes and then lost it.
I know. I was chasing him for sure. Like, I don't know. Howard's just so good sometimes. And yeah, it's frustrating.
Defenses, we're going to see a lot of the Washington football team against Ehlinger. You're going to see a lot of the Patriots against the Jets. I would assume that
I think people will pay out for Cowboys.
Yeah, I think you'll see a lot of the Rams at 2,700 against Jimmy. Mm. You know, that's probably my favorite. Is if the Rams are not going to be stone chalk against Jimmy, I will be playing a lot of them because Jimmy.
Yeah, it's.
Just does his thing.
That seems good. I do think people will actually find a way to pay up for the Cowboys this week just because they're such a compelling fantasy defense and Fields has not been very good. But the Cowboys and Patriots actually are somewhat similar defenses in that they have, you know, really good pass rush, but pretty bad run defense and, like, you know, very fast corners, but not, you know, like it's a more similar defense, I think, than people would think. And Fields really carved up the Patriots by just running all over the place. Like, the Cowboys are a really fun defense for fantasy because they themselves can put up a ton of fantasy points, but they're also quite exploitable. Trevon Diggs is like the poster boy for that shit. You know, he gave up the most yards and he had a dozen interceptions last year. So I think that's fine. And Darnell Mooney gets him this week. I know this is defense talk, but that's going to be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Philly rather is 3,900. That's a lot of money, but they get to play Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh at 2,400, I don't think it's crazy. Like, Jalen Hurts can do dumb stuff. You know, you got to pick, you only give up 24 and you get 3 sacks and a pick 6.
Like, yeah.
That's, you're cooking with gas there.
Yeah. I mean, I just play whatever defense fits because it's just so random.
Yeah. Spin the wheel. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, favorite game stack is Hoomst.
I don't know that I have a favorite game stack as much as I just have favorites, like QB stacks. So I think that the Dolphins are the top optimal, but barely. And then just below them are the Eagles and the Raiders and who else was I talking about? Eagles, Raiders, and okay. Let me. I think this is riveting. Sorry. Cowboys.
I'll just give mine, which is going to be the Las Vegas Raiders. Derek Carr, Devontae Adams, Darren Waller, with the leverage off of Jacobs, the Chris Olave bring back. Yeah,
I love that play, and yeah, I think game stacked. That is probably my favorite. I think individually I like the Cowboys passing stack and the Eagles passing stack a little bit better. But yeah, with the Olave thing, it's just like, it's so sweet. And I don't think it's going to be totally out of control. I thought you were going to say Cowboys there and just be like, my number one stack is the Dallas Cowboys, of whom I will play 0% because I am jamming Tony Pollard.
I mean, look, you got to, it's important in life to know what you're about. And I'm about Tony Pollard.
It's true. This has been a long, you've felt this way for a long time.
It's like waiting all the way until Christmas morning and then not opening your gifts. It's like, what am I gonna do, not open my gifts, bro?
Yeah, man. It's like, who was the monster athlete white dude that played on the Packers for a long time that never got there? That was your boy.
Jeff Janis? He did, yes, though. Played him in cash. I played him in cash one week and he scored a touchdown.
That's great. Well, maybe that'll happen for Tony this week.
Yeah, you never know. All right, everyone. We're going to get out of here. I'll be back tomorrow with Mr. Rebar from Sharp Football. See y'all then.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.